بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our discussion with regards to the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and his command and highly emphasized advice, the wasiyah of treating the people with good manners and noble conduct. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa khaliq an-nasa bi khuluqin hasan, and to treat the people with good manners, to treat the people with good manners. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned the issue of good manners and how they are obtained. And there's the mas'ala, or the question that comes, are the good and noble manners something that somebody is blessed with and born with and that are ingrained in him by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, or are they something that one he will learn and he will gain and he will obtain? Or are they something that he will learn and he will gain and he will obtain? And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned about this issue, that from the noble manners, there are some who Allah Azza wa Jal has favored them, and He has blessed them, and He has created them with this noble conduct, and He has ingrained that in them, in their fitrah, as a favor from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has provided that for them, and made it easy for them to have the good and the noble and the lofty conduct. And others, they did not have that blessing, but likewise, they have the ability to have that manner, to have those manners by learning. And by learning and striving against one's soul. So therefore, some of these manners, they are manners that one will be blessed with by the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, and by the favor and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that some people, they will be gifted with this as a favor from Allah. They will have the ability to be calm and to think and ponder over what they will do next and what they will say before acting, and they will not be hasty. And they will be kind to others, and they will think about the outcomes of their statements and actions before they proceed, so on and so forth. And they'll be known for being trustworthy and honest. And these are traits that they have, and kindness and generous and so on and so forth. And they were born in this manner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created them. He created them with this blessing. And others, they may be contrary to that. They may be contrary to that. Some people, they have the trait, and it's inside of them that they're stingy or greedy, or that they are dishonest and the likes like this. But likewise, these people, they can strive against their soul, and they can learn, and they can obtain the good and noble manners, and they can rectify and purify their heart and refine their soul and their conduct if they are sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they strive. So therefore, from the akhlaq, the people of knowledge mentioned that there are some that are akhlaq jibiliyya. Akhlaq jibiliyya, that a person he's created with and he's provided with these noble manners. And there are other type of manners or conduct that are akhlaq al-muktasaba, that he will gain them and he will obtain them, and he will not have that trait. He'll be somebody who maybe he is not patient, somebody who is a bit hasty, somebody who he gets hot easy, he's hot-tempered. That's how he's created. But after hearing the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the encouragement of the perfection of the manners and the text with regards to that, and then being sincere and believing in what he has heard from these authentic texts and the likes like this, and he strives against his soul, that person that was in this manner with this bad conduct, he can rectify that, and he can become from the most humble, and he can become from those who are the most diligent to think before they speak, and to not be hasty and to be patient, and he's striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal to obtain and to maintain these manners and these conduct. These manners and this conduct. And it has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim that there was a great delegation that came to him from a great tribe. It's a very famous narration called the Wafd Abd al-Qais. Wafd Abd al-Qais, the delegation of the tribe of Abd al-Qais. And they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from amongst them there was a man, his name is Al-Ashaj radiyallahu anhu. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was with his tribe in order to pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to enter into Islam on behalf of themselves and their tribesmen and their people. So whenever they came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he met Al-Ashaj, and he said to him, إِنَّكَ أَوْ إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, that verily you have two traits or conducts that Allah, He loves. That Allah, He loves. And he told this man this. When the man came to him, he told him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, you have two traits that Allah, He loves. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَاتِ, الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَاتِ. الْحِلْم is forbearance, and anat is the opposite of al-ajla, and being hasty, and taish, and being reckless. So, and meaning he has this trait of forbearance, and a trait of thinking about the outcome of affairs, and not being hasty in his actions, and his movements, and his manners, and rather he would think of the best way to proceed before he proceeds, and he would proceed upon what he had thought of, and what he had he reflected upon, and then he would act in that manner, not acting on first movement or on first desire and the likes like this. He has these traits. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised him for these traits, and he mentioned that he has these two traits and that Allah loves them. And then in one of the narrations in Tabarani and in Sunan Abi Dawood, in one of the narrations of Sunan Abi Dawood, he mentioned radiyallahu anhu, he says, "Atakhallaqu biha ana atakhallaqu bihima aw jabarani Allahu alayhima." Are these manners that I have learned myself and that I have strived to obtain and to perform, or are these manners that Allah has created me with? And he said, بَلِ اللَّهُ جَبَلَكَ عَلَيْهِمَا. And he said, rather Allah, He has created you with these manners. Rather Allah, He has created you with these manners, ingrained them in you. And then he said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهُ أَلَّذِي جَبَلَنِي عَلَى خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, all praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has created me and ingrained inside of me two manners and traits that Allah and His Messenger love, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point about this is that it's very clear from this narration that manners are two types. Some of them, people are created with them and they are ingrained inside of them, and this is a blessing from Allah. This is a hiba from Allah, a blessing and a gift and a provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And other manners, they are obtained. And other manners, they are obtained. A believer, he will strive to have them. In any case, whether a believer, he has that blessing and that grace upon him from birth, or whether he did not have that, he will still strive. He will still strive to maintain, to gain those manners if he did not have them, and to learn those manners if he did not know them, and to abide by them, whether he had them before or did not. And once he has them and he's aware of them, he will strive. He will strive to maintain them and to keep them and to abide by way of this conduct. And this is from the completion of faith, as we will see, insha'Allah ta'ala. Just as further clarification with regards to the story here, this man, his name is Al-Ashaj, or Ashaj Abdul Qais radiallahu anhu, and his story just proceeded. But the details of that is that whenever his tribesmen, they all came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they come from outside of Medina, and they travel to him in a delegation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever they reached Medina, all of them were in a hurry to come and pledge their allegiance to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they all come down off of their riding animals and the likes, and they all hasten to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this man here, Ashaj radiallahu anhu, was mentioned that he did not hasten and he did not come directly, but rather he put his animal down and then he put all of his belongings down and he tied up the animals, and then he went and he bathed, and then he chose the best clothing and he put the best clothing on, and then he prayed, and then he made dua, and then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pledge his allegiance in this manner. So everybody else is hastening, they've been traveling this whole time, of course they're ready to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and pledge allegiance, and they have this great desire, so they're hastening. But he likewise has the same desire, but he wanted to come in the best manner. So therefore he's thinking about the best way to approach and the best way to do this affair. And he did not hasten. And this is whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seen him in this manner, he mentioned to him this affair and this hadith. إِنَّكَ إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أو يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَاتِ. Verily you have two traits that Allah loves, and that is forbearance and not being hasty, and not being reckless and the likes like this in dealing with one's affairs. So therefore this is from the good manners and this is from the good traits that we will discuss insha'Allah ta'ala. But the point is here that a believer, whether he has the good manners ingrained in him or some of them or not, he will strive to rectify himself. He will strive to rectify himself, and he will make efforts to purify his soul and his conduct. And he will remember that from the completion of the taqwa and the piety, which will be a means to protect him from the anger of Allah and to inshallah be a means to guide him to the mercy and the pleasure of Allah, is that he will deal with the people according to the legislation, and he will deal with the people by giving them their rights that Allah has given them, and he will do that seeking the pleasure of Allah, and he will do that seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we continue reading, and the author he said وَقَدْ جَعَلَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حُسْنَ الْخُلُقِ أَكْمَلَ خِصَالَ الْإِيمَانِ كما خرج الإمام أحمد وأبو داود من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam good manners the completion or from the complete attributes and characteristics of faith, the complete attributes and characteristics of faith, yani from the actions of al-iman, from the actions of faith, and rather from those actions that complete the faith and perfect the faith is husnu al-khuluq. It's husnu al-khuluq, to have good and noble manners, to have good and noble manners. So this affair is not something that is light. It's not something that is extra. Rather, this is from the completion of the faith. And we've seen that the deen cannot be complete and except by performing the obligations of faith. And from the obligations of faith is that which is related to the affairs of noble manners and the affairs of good manners. So there are some type of etiquettes and manners with certain individuals and affairs from the creation that it's an obligation to deal with them in the best way. And it's an obligation to deal with them in a noble manner. And the one who did not do that, then he would not have fulfilled the right of Iman. And therefore his faith will be deficient and his deen will be weak because of his dealings and his conduct. Because of his dealings and his conduct. So he mentioned that this narration he's referring to has been narrated by Imam Ahmed and likewise Abu Dawood rahimahumallahu ta'ala from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qal akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan akmalul mu'minina imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan, that the believers that have the most complete faith, the believers who have the most complete faith are the ones that have the best manners. Are the ones that have the best manners. From the believers, the ones who have the most complete faith are the ones who have the best manners. How many words is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Who can memorize the hadith tonight? أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا. It's three words. أكمل means the most complete. المؤمنين, the most complete. إيمانا. أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا. The most complete faith from the believers, or from the believers, the one who has the most complete faith. أحسنهم خلقا. أحسنهم خلقا. نعم أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا. أكمل مبتدا وهو مضاف. The خبر. أحسنهم خلقا. The brothers who study the Arabic language, this will help them to memorize it. And you don't understand the meaning, and you know the Arab. أحسن المؤمنين أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. أحسنهم خلقا. The believers, the ones who have the most complete faith, are the ones who have the best manners. The ones who have the best manners. This issue has been referred to in many narrations like this. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَحَبَّكُمْ إِلَيَّ أحسنهم خلقا. The ones from amongst you are the most beloved to me is the ones who have the best manner. The ones who have the best manner. Most beloved to me, the ones who have the best manners. And this is in Sahih Bukhari or Muslim, an authentic narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا. That verily from the ones who are the best amongst you are the ones who have the best manners. Are the ones who have the best manners. So if we see here the narration the author mentioned, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا, the believers who have the most complete faith. In order for somebody to have complete faith or more complete faith, that means there's somebody that has to have deficient faith. So therefore, with regards to the faith, there is faith that is complete and there is faith that is deficient. From the means to complete the faith, we have talked about this before. Al-mutlaq al-iman and al-iman al-mutlaq. Wa aslul iman wa al-iman al-wajib. Wa al-iman al-mustahab. So here he's talking about sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akmal al-mu'minin, yani from that the ones who have the most complete faith. Yani that is the one who has the best manners. So therefore the faith is not complete. Some people, their faith is deficient. What is the deficiency in their faith? The manners. So in order for somebody to have complete manners, that means that, or somebody's faith and iman to be complete, that means that some, that there's some that are not complete. And the issue here is with regards to manners. Many means for, or obligations for the faith to be complete, and many causes and reasons for the faith to be deficient. The point now is here in this statement, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, that from the means of completing the faith, or from the means of the faith to be deficient and to be weak, is the issue of manners and conduct. The issue of manners and conduct. So the faith cannot be complete except by learning the manners and conduct that are obligatory. The manners and conduct that are obligatory. It's an obligatory portion of the manners and the demeanor of a believer, how he will carry himself and how he will act and how he will conduct himself dealing in all situations. And the beginning of that goes back to the issue, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. The one who has completed the faith with the relationship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and completed his taqwa, yani in his dealings with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he remembers Allah in every situation and every circumstance, whenever he's alone and whenever he's dealing with the people, and that he's going to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah, he has rights, and from his rights are the rights that he has given the creation. Then the one who remembers this and reflects upon this, then he will deal with the people. He will deal with the people with good manners. This is the fruit of that. The fruit of the strong and the correct aqidah and the strong faith and the good tawheed and the shahada that is upright and beneficial is that it will produce good manners. It'll produce good manners because a taqwa is like iman. Brother, iman is taqwa, and there's no taqwa without iman. And we have seen that these words are interchangeable in their basic and fundamental meaning. And that the iman, it goes up and it goes down. And likewise the taqwa, it goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. So therefore a believer, he has to be aware of these things. And he has to learn how to have the proper manners that are required and the conduct that is required for him to complete his faith and for him to complete his deen and for him to complete his testification. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. And from the completion of that and the perfection of that and the requirements that these statements necessitate is that his manners will become good. So whenever the taqwa is strong and the iman is strong, then likewise this will produce the beautiful manners and conduct. It will produce the beautiful speech and action. It will be able to deal with the people in the best way, whether it's easygoing or whether it's hot. Whether it's easygoing or whether it's hot, because he will remember any meaning, a tough situation or a tight situation, or when people are acting ignorant, he will not respond. He will not respond like that. Because he has faith, he has iman, and he remembers that what they are saying is recorded against them, and they will be held accountable. And what I'm saying is recorded against me, and I'll be held accountable. And I'm not going to be asked about what they say, and they're not going to be asked about what I say, but I'm going to be asked about what I say. And he's going to be asked about what he said. So I'm worried about myself and my soul. So therefore, a believer like this, he will remember, and he will rectify his situation. With خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And whenever the ignorant people address them and speak with them and act ignorant with them, they say salama. And not meaning they give salam, meaning they say statements that they are safe by way of them from sin. And if those people fall into acting foolish and possibly falling into sin in their ignorance, he will respond in a manner he'll be safe from that. He'll respond in a manner he'll be safe from that in his honor and his dignity, in his relationship with Allah first and foremost, and likewise in his conduct with the people. So he will be able to control himself because he's not dealing with that person. Who is he dealing with? He's dealing with Allah. He's dealing with Allah. This is the foundation. This is the foundation. The believer who remembers this, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and strives, wallahi, he will have so much good. So much good that one could not even describe. Couldn't even describe the good that he will have, and the futuhat that he will have, and the blessings that will come to him, and the goodness that he will find in his heart from the contentment and the sweetness of faith and the likes like this, by striving to perfect his deen. By striving out of fear of Allah, out of belief in Allah, out of faith in Allah, to perfect his action and his conducts, even likewise whenever he's dealing with the people. So we see here, it's very clear. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akmal al-mu'minin imanan ahsanuhum khuluqan. The most complete of the believers in faith are those who have the best manners. So the ones who could say the ones from those who have the deficient, most deficient faith are the ones who have the worst manners. And likewise, even to increase the encouragement to learn these manners and strive to have them or to abide by them, the other statement, إِنَّ أَحَبَّكُمْ إِلَيَّ أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلُقًا, that verily the most beloved to you, verily the most beloved of you to me are those who have the best manners. That means that likewise the love, the Prophet, he loves the believers, but that love fluctuates. That love, some the Prophet, he loves some of the believers more than others. The ones he loved the most are the ones who have the best manners. Likewise, al-khayriyah, the goodness amongst the believers. No doubt every single believer, if he's a Muslim, a true Muslim, alhamdulillah, even if he has major sins, he has khayr with him, and he has good with him. He has the foundation of the shahada with him. This is khayr, and this is goodness. And he has the promise of the Muslims with this statement. But the khayriyah, it fluctuates likewise. And the goodness that are in the believers, it fluctuates. And from the means of that fluctuation is from the means. Not the only means, we understand that. Not the only means, we're not talking about the only means. From the means is completion or the perfection of the manners. إِنَّ مِنْ خِيَادِكُمْ أَحَسِنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. From the best, from those of you who are the best and most noble are those who have the best manners. So the author, he mentioned now, he says, وَخَرَّجَ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ نَصْرٍ الْمَرْوَزِي. Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, وَزَادَ فِيهِ وَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ لَيَكُونُ مُؤْمِنًا وَإِنَّ فِي خُلُقِهِ شَيْئًا فَيَنْقُصُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ إِيمَانِهِ. And there's another wording that has been mentioned, or an addition to this narration. He says, narrated by Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that in verity, an individual, he will be a believer. And he will be a believer, a Muslim, a mu'min. And he has something wrong with his manners though. So therefore his faith will decrease accordingly. It will decrease accordingly. This narration, it has some weakness in it, this addition here. But the meaning is correct and it's seen, because there cannot be the completion of faith except that there is a deficiency. And there are those who have complete and there's those who has a deficiency. So something cannot be complete except that if it could be also deficient. And something cannot have an increase except if it could be decreased. So therefore, any the fact that the iman is complete, and it means that likewise the iman could be deficient. And this here in this narration is from the affair of the manners, from the affair of the manners. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he considered now from the completion of faith, the completion of the manners, the completion of the manners. From the completion of the faith is the completion of the manners. And the foundation of the faith is at-taqwa. It goes back to the first affair. We have to make the relationship. And the foundation of the faith is at-taqwa. And the reality of at-taqwa and the foundation of at-taqwa is al-ikhlas. Al-ikhlas, ikhlasul ibadah. To make the action sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. To make the action sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. According to the sunnah, al-ikhlas wal mutaba'ah. But here with regards to the dealings of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani al-ikhlas here, that to be sincere, to do these actions and to have these manners for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the people of knowledge, they mentioned, but not only in the foundation of taqwa, not ikhlas alone, but al-ikhlasu wal-istiyana. Al-istiyana, to have sincerity and to have pure faith and sincere faith in Allah, to do the actions for Allah alone and nobody else, and to trust and rely upon Allah. And to seek his faith. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is the foundation of taqwa, and this is the means. And in order to have the good manners, a believer, he has to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. And deal with the people for the sake of Allah, all the while putting his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah. He's not doing it for something from the people. Wanting praise from the people, or status from the people, or some wealth from the people, or anything from the people, or that he's doing it for the sake of Allah. And he's dealing with them for the sake of Allah. And he is hoping and relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal alone to be able to perform that and do that. And he's hoping and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in order to do that. Because he cannot have good manners except if it's from the success from Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore he will cut his heart, all of the hope in the heart, from the people and from mankind. He will cut off that. He will cut that off with what? With tawakkul. He will make an ikhlas. He will make his trust and reliance sincerity for Allah alone. And he will cut his heart off from desiring what the people have, or wanting something from the people, or a position from the people. And he will only want that from Allah. And he will hope that from Allah. And he will only work for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. not for the sake of the people. In this manner, a believer, yani, he can have the best manners. Yani, and from those things that the heart of a believer will never ever have any animosity or hard feeling or hatred or rancor in the heart. Yani, for the believer, from those actions is that he makes the deen and he makes his actions sincerely for the sake of Allah. He makes his actions sincerely for the sake of Allah. For example, if somebody is dealing with the people and he give them charity, and he did it only for the sake of Allah, he does not want anything from that person whatsoever, or anything from the people. He gave that with the hope for the reward from Allah. And the action he's doing it only for Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And he was sincere and truthful with that. Then if that person, he took that money and he snatched it out of his hand for his hand, or he was very rude after that. He gave him the money, and then after that, a few days later, he boycotted him, for example, for some pity things or something like that. Would it hurt that man's heart? Huh? Would it hurt his heart? Nah, it won't bother him at all. It won't bother him at all. He did not. How is he going to do that to me? I gave him money. His heart is not attached to Allah. His heart is not attached to Allah. If he did it for the sake of Allah, it will not matter what he did. It will not matter what he did. If he smiled in the face of his brother, and his brother, he looked back at him mad, he balled up his face, would it bother him? He didn't smile in his face hoping for a smile back. He didn't smile. He's doing it for the sake of Allah. So whether they smile back or they don't smile back, it's not going to change him. He didn't do it for a smile. Huh? He didn't do it for a smile. لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا. We don't want any thanks or any reward. So they do it only for the sake of Allah. The one person like this, no rancor comes into his heart. The one who works like this, no rancor comes into it. If he's dealing with his wife and then he does all these good things for his wife and then his wife is ungrateful, it's going to hurt his heart. He didn't do it for her in the first place. He did it for the sake of Allah. Likewise, if the wife is doing all of these things, but she's doing it for the sake of Allah, cleaning the house and doing the dishes and taking care of the kids, but she does that for the sake of Allah, hoping from the reward of Allah. Whether the husband prays her or not, it doesn't matter to her. It doesn't matter to her. Whether the husband mentions that or not, it doesn't matter to her. She's not doing it for any praise from him in the first place. So it doesn't bother her heart whether he praises or not, whether he thanks her or not, because he's not looking for it, or she's not looking for the thanks from her husband. She's looking for the thanks from Allah. From Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this is how a believer, he deals with the things. But at the same time, one will have to always remember likewise that from the completion of good manners, that if a person does good to an individual, he will show thanks and he will show gratitude. But this is the case, any of the one who has noble manners. But if somebody did not do that with you, then you don't deal with him like that. You do it for the sake of Allah. And then if somebody shows some good to you, نعم تشكر الناس من لم يشكر الناس من لم يشكر من لم يشكر الناس الله من لم يشكر الناس. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever did not show thanks to the people, then he did not show thanks to Allah. So from showing thanks, yani, to Allah Azza wa Jal is being thankful and grateful for the people. And he's saying, Jazakallah khairan, wa barakallah fika, alhamdulillah. But first you praise Allah Azza wa Jal and then you show gratitude to the people. And the likes like this. So that's from the good manners of that person. That's from the good manners of that person. But the issue here is how to deal with others. The issue here is how to deal with others. Whenever they, whether they're thankful or they're not thankful, a believer, he does it for the sake of Allah, it will not move him. It will not change him. If they're thankful, alhamdulillah, that's a display of their noble manners. If they're not thankful, alhamdulillah, it's not going to bother him because he didn't do it hoping for thanks from them in the first place. You understand that? So therefore, Annie, this is from the completion of the faith and the perfection of the deen, to be sincere in dealing with the people. To be sincere in dealing with the people and trusting and relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and hoping for the aid and the support and the acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the reward from Allah azza wa jal alone. أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. That the believers, those who have the most complete faith, those who have the most complete faith from the believers are the ones who have the best manners, are the ones who have the best manners. Actually, this narration, it has a continuation in the books of hadith, and it doesn't stop here. Rather, it has a continuation in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِ وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِ. So the hadith in its length or in totality, it says يعني أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخيركم خيركم أو وخيرهم خيرهم لنسائهم وخيرهم خيرهم لنسائهم. That the believers, those who have the most complete faith, are the ones who have the best manners. And the best of them are the best of them to their women. And the best of them are the best of them to their women. And some of the narrations, وَخَيْرُهُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُهُمْ لِأَهْلِهِمْ to their families. To their families. And this has come in the wordings of the same narration. And the best of them are the best of them to their women. Or, and the best of them are the best of them to their families. To their families. And first and foremost from the families, the women and the wife and those who are under the authority and the likes like this. So this is an indication that from those people who have the greatest right of the noble manners and to be generous with and kind with and to show mercy and to be patient with and forbearing and to not be hasty with and the likes like this, there are those who are under the care of an individual beginning with the women, beginning with the women and his wife specifically, and likewise the daughters and those who are under the care, and even the male, even the males under his care likewise. And he will khayruhum li ahlihi. For this reason, it has been narrated from Imam Malik, rahimahullahu taala, that he said, "فَيَنْبَغِي لِلرَّجُلِ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ إِلَى أَهْلِ دَارِهِ حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِمْ That what is befitting and becoming, what is required for a man, is that he will be good to his family. To his family, meaning to his household. The ahli darihi, to his household specifically. Meaning those that live in his household specifically, that he'll be good to them. All the way to the extent that he will be the most beloved of the people to them. That he will be the most beloved of the people to them. And he meaning that, for example, that whenever he's there, there's light and there's delight in the house. And there's happiness in the house and joy in the house. And likewise, there is regulation in the house and there is rules that are, and the likes like this, and there's organization in the house and everything is flowing good along with light, not along with the iron hammer where everybody is gloomy. Whenever he's home, the house is happy and the people are happy and everything's good and flowing. Yani to the best. And it doesn't mean that there's never any problems in the household, but in general, this is the case. In general, this is the case, that he brings good to his house. And whenever he's home, there's light there with him and goodness there with him. Whether he is being kind to them, or whether he's rectifying them, or whether he's disciplining them. And in every situation, they're learning and they're benefiting, and there's goodness along with him. Contrary to some people, whenever they're home, the house is gloomy and the people can't wait for him to leave. And it's very difficult and hard, and there's yelling and screaming. And the worst time is whenever the father comes home from work, with iyadu billah, everybody's happy and enjoying. And then whenever the father comes home from work, then everybody's walking on the eggshells, and the lights like this, scared that he's going to make the wrong move, or somebody's going to say something or mention something to get yelled at or get hit or to get slapped. With iyadu billah, this is not the right way. This is not the right way. Khayruhum li ahlihi. And this has been mentioned in more than one narration. So, as Imam Malik, he mentioned again, يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّجُلِ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ دَارِهِ حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَحَبَّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِمْ. That it's befitting for a person and required for a man that he will be good to his family, that he'll be good to his household until he is the most beloved of the people to them. Until he's the most beloved of the people to them. Whenever he leaves, they miss him. Whenever he comes home, they rejoice and they're happy to see him and they greet him and the likes like this. And this was something that was known in the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever he's there, he would work with his family and he would sit with his family and he would take care of the needs of his family sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever he would leave and then come back, they would hasten to meet him and greet him at the door. They would hasten to meet him and greet him at the door, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, missing him and welcoming him, and ready for him to come home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how a man should be in his house. That his family, they love it for him to return. They know that he has to leave to take care of business and the likes like this, and they're waiting for him to come back. And they're waiting for him to come back. And this is something for a man to be aware of likewise. Because in reality, especially the children, all day long they're waiting for their father to come home. And especially for the fathers who work outside of the house, or they're busy, they're waiting for their father. The youth are waiting, when is daddy coming home? When is abby coming home like this? And then he's waiting for some type of opportunity to laugh or to smile or to ask questions. And to be with his father, and then maybe his father will come home and ignore him. Maybe he's tired, no doubt, but he will come home and he will be harsh with him or rude with him. And in all day long he's waiting and yearning for his father, waiting for him and the likes like this. And then he comes home and he's rude and he comes home and he's harsh. And he comes home and he's short, or he comes home and he's tempered and the likes like this. But rather, he should be aware of this affair, that child, especially the children, they're in a stage of cultivation. They're in a stage of cultivation. And this means nourishment and raising. This means nourishment and raising. And sometimes if we're not careful, instead of cultivating our children, we're destroying them. We're destroying their personalities, and we're destroying their soul and their hearts, and weakening them by belittling them and the likes like this. This is not building, this is destroying. This is not building, this is destroying. So the children, they have to, and especially require for a person to be patient with them. Because a child is what? What is a child? He's the place for mahal al-khata. He's the place for mistake. He has no experience. He has no experience with life. So everything is new for him. So he's making mistakes left and right, tripping over this one and that one, putting something where it does not belong. And putting something where it does not belong, taking something from where it belongs and putting it somewhere else. And this is what a child does. And he's so a man, he has to be patient with that. And has to remember that and be careful in the way that he cultivates the child if he wants good for him. So a believer, he has to want good for his family. First and foremost, that he would do everything he can in his ability to help them go to Jannah. That he would do everything he can in his ability to help them gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is his goal with his family. This is his obligation. That he will do what he can to help them earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So sometimes, to get them to pray, for example, as we mentioned in the previous class, this is an obligation, and this is from helping them to go to Jannah, commanding them to pray. But if a believer, he's not patient, and if he's not careful, he can make the prayer heavy on them when it's the time for it not to be heavy. He can make the prayer heavy on them when it's a time for it not to be heavy. What does that mean? It's not an obligation. It's not an obligation. Sometimes there are children, it's not an obligation for them to pray. It's not an... The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا بَلَغُوا سَبْعَ سِنِينَ فَمُرْهُمْ بِالسَّلَاةِ فَمُرْهُمْ بِالسَّلَاةِ Command them to pray. Command them to pray. This is from the manners and the dealings and the etiquettes of Al-Islam and how to deal with children. Whenever they reach the age of 7, what do? You command them to pray. You command them to pray. What does that mean? Get over here and pray. Yell at them. You tell them, Salli, as-salayta, salli. Allah yuhibbu al-musallin. And Allah yuhibbu al-salat. Allah, he loves salat. Pray. Did you pray today? It's dhuhr. Did you pray dhuhr? I didn't. No, salli, that's it. You just tell them to pray. You tell him to pray one time, two times. He hears from you that you said for him to pray. That's it. If he prays, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't pray, alhamdulillah. It's not upon him. All at that time, 7, 8, 9, until he's 10, what is upon him is to hear his father, to hear his mother, to hear his big brother or sister tell him to pray. Ask him to pray. Salli. Salli, go pray. That's it. That's it. Some people, they understand that, and they'll even not force them to pray, but they force them to pray. Huh? They force them to pray. They don't force them to pray, but they don't sit him down and say, pray, but they'll encourage and encourage and encourage and encourage. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Oh, you don't love prayer? Oh, you don't want to go to Jannah? Oh, you keep on going until he prays. Until he prays. This is wrong. Because now he's praying, why? Because he's forced to pray. He feel like he's forced to pray. Although he did not force him to pray physically, he encouraged him and encouraged him and encouraged him until it became heavy on his heart and he did something he didn't want to do. Huh? So they're putting it on him until it's heavy on his heart. Their prayer should not be heavy on their hearts. Huh? It should not be heavy on their hearts. It should not be something that makes their heart heavy. Wallahi, if you see a child and you tell him to pray, sometimes you can see it in their face. They'll change. He'll be in the middle of playing and then you say, As-salat, and then it's heavy for them. It gets heavy for them. Pray. And then at this time, you just stop. You just tell them, go pray. Go pray, barakallah fiqh. Like this, you can see it, that sometimes their mind, they're not mature at this age. They can't bear this responsibility. And Allah did not create them in this manner, nor did He decree that legislatively. Nor did He decree that legislatively. So to act like this with the children, this is wrong. This is not the proper manners and the proper way. And this is putting on them that which is not proper. They're making it heavy for them. At 7, 8, 9 like this, all they have to do at Fajr time, you just kind of budge them, salli. They hear you, salli. They move a little bit, salli. It's Fajr. Are you gonna pray? Pray, salli, like this, and then they go back to bed. That's it. Khalas. That's what you do. Moruhum, bissalati in the sabah. Ha, moru oladikum bissalati in the sabah. Command them to pray like this. A command that you encourage them. You encourage them. It's not an obligation upon them. So don't make it heavy. So don't make it heavy. Whenever they get 10, if they're going through these 7, 8, 9, 3 years like this, every single day, 5 times a day, somebody is reminding them, telling them to pray, but not forcing them. By the time their mind becomes ripe, and they start maturing more, they'll be able to actually fulfill that command by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we should not, and we should be very careful with regards to the cultivation. Cultivation means to raise them. At-tarbiyah al-islamiyah, at-tarbiyah al-salafiyah, at-tarbiyah al-sunniyah, at-tarbiyah alati rabba al-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ashabahu alayha. This is the one that is correct, and this has been narrated to us, and it's been collected and preserved. وَإِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ الْحَافِظُونَ. It's preserved, alhamdulillah. So all we have to do is follow and learn. Follow and learn. This is very, very important. Very, very important. Cultivating ourselves and our children upon the manners of Islam. Beginning with this affair here. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَمَا كُنْتَ. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't make something obligatory that's not obligatory. This is heavy. This is heavy. That's also called غلو. Extremism. To make something obligatory that's not obligatory, this is called extremism. This is called extremism. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُو. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُو فِي الدِّينِ. نعم. This is a way that to go away from the straight path. So, yani, this is something to be aware of and to be cautious about. Because, for example, those children right now, whenever they're like this in this age, they just do whatever they're told, for the most part. And they'll do everything, almost. Yani. But now, that's because they're at that age, their mind is like that. Their mind is like that. Whenever their mind starts to grow and maturity comes and desires start taking effect, that's the time that you have to worry about. So you're hoping if the child is going to reach puberty, you're trying to get him prepared for that. Because whenever he reaches puberty, there's going to be desires. There's going to be lusts. There's going to be any things that are going to try to stop him. Yani from praying and the likes like this. So he's going to be facing different types of difficulties, especially in our day. So you have to prepare him for that day whenever it's going to be an obligation. So if you make it heavy now, what do you think it's going to be by that time? He can't wait to leave it. That's why we see that many times we find in our communities, waliyadu billah, that our children, they run away. They run away. Many times they're not running away from the deen, they're running away from our manners. They're running away from the tarbiyah and the way that we raise them. This is wrong. This is wrong. We'll be held accountable for these affairs. We'll be held accountable for these affairs. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثَ مَا كُنْتِ. اتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ. You have to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to the children and to raise them properly. And to raise them properly. Yani, so this is very important. To raise them and not destroy them. To raise them and to not tear them down. To raise them and to not tear them down. How did we get here? On this topic. That's the foundation. So خالق الناس بخلق الناس إن أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخيركم خيركم لأهلي أو خيرهم وخيرهم من أهلي. Like this, the best of you are the best of your family, the best of your family. So therefore, like Imam Malik, he said that a believer is befitting and incumbent for him to be good to his family and tell he's the most beloved person to them. Until he's the most beloved person to them. That doesn't mean he's going to be mudahin. Huh? That doesn't mean he's going to compromise the deen. He's going to be nice to his family and let them have haram things and buy for them haram games and purchase for them haram clothing and let them watch haram things on YouTube. That doesn't mean that. There's limits. There's limits. But he will do what he can. And from the beneficial means in our days that the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this affair, yani of giving the children and the likes and the family, yani is because so many things are impermissible and the bab of shahawat is wide open. Desires and impermissible lusts, yani is wide open from every aspect. Clothes and haircuts and music, yani so many yani aspects, it's almost yani no limit to it. So somebody yani, whose faith is weak, maybe they'll say everything, this is haram and that, I can't have nothing. Yani, so in order to prohibit that or to counteract that, then whatever is permissible, you give them more. You give them more. You give them more. If it's permissible, you let them have it. You give them one. You can't have this one's haram. Take two of these. Take three of these. Or I'll get you this one, and this one. Or you take this one, a red one, a blue one, and a black one. This one over here, now just leave it for the sake of Allah. Allah, He doesn't love this one. But these are over here are good. Pick the, from these five, pick three of them. Tfadlan. Like this. You need to count to help them. You need to deal with that issue that which is not permissible. You need to make توسيه تتوسع عليهم في المباحات. That you make it light and easy with them with regards to that which is permissible. You need with limits and with wisdom. With limits and with wisdom. So you wouldn't make everything impermissible. And also from the advices of the people of knowledge.
May Allah preserve them for us. Is that they say, do not make your family desire what is in the hands of others when you have the ability to give them. Don't make your family desire what it, like, don't make the child want to have something that's in that other people have. And if they have this and they have that, and you have the ability to give them, meaning give them, spend on them, like it's mentioning here, spend on them, give them things, spend on them and spend your wealth on them, and provide for them. If they need something, you get it for them. Don't make them go to somebody else to get it, or to desire to have another way to get it, or try to figure out another way to get it. Rather, let it come from you. Let it come from the Father, if he has the ability like this. And so take care of these needs and spend on them in order to show them that you love them, in order to show them likewise the right way. We spend on these things are permissible. You can have all of this, alhamdulillah. As for this one, we cannot buy that. And to clarify that, so they know the limits. Yani from the very beginning. وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِ أو خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. So therefore you have to be good to the family. This is from the completion of faith. Also, it has been narrated from Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, "Husnu al-khuluq fi thalatha khisal." That the good and noble manners, they are in three traits. And whenever the people of knowledge, they mention, it's not only three, but three any main or very important traits. There's many other traits, but for example, he mentioned these three: ijtinabul maharim, staying away from that which is haram and impermissible. And this is from the good manners, huh? The good manners is to do what? Stay away from the haram. To look at the haram YouTube videos. Is that good manners? Bad manners with who? As-Sami' al-Basir. The one who sees everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hears everything. So that's not good manners. To take wealth that is unlawful. Is that good manners? It's not good manners. This is bad manners. So he's saying here, that the good manners, حُسْنُ خُلُقْ فِي ثَلَاثَةِ خِصَالِ. The first one is اجتنابُ الْمَحَارِمِ وَطَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ. To stay away from that which is haram and to seek and to strive to obtain that which is permissible. And from the provision. From the provision. And then here the point is, وَالتَّوْسِيَةُ عَلَى الْعِيَالِ وَالتَّوْسِيَةُ عَلَى الْعِيَالِ. To spend and to provide and give extra to the family and those who are under one's care. To give to the family and those who are under one's care. And to provide for them generously. To provide for them generously. Some people, whenever they go out of their home, and they deal with their brothers in the street and their co-workers and the colleagues and the likes like this, or the brothers in the masajid, when they deal with them, they're the most generous of the people, and they show them the most noblest of manners. And whenever they turn to their house, they're like lions and yelling and short-tempered and the likes like this, and they'll be stingy. Even some people don't like that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Yani to be generous with the brothers is very, very good and from the noble character. But to do that on the account of being stingy and greedy with the family, this is wrong. Rather, the family, they have the most right. The family, they have the most right before the brothers. The brothers, they have a right to. But the family, they have the most right for a person to be kind to them, to be gentle with them, to have hilm with them and that with them, and to not be hastening with them, and to not take them to account for every last thing, and to be forbearing with them and overlooking them and pardoning them and so on and so forth, and hoping from all of this to raise them upon a good way. This is from the most important affairs. This is from the most important affairs. وَخَيْرُكُمْ وَخَيْرُهُمْ خَيْرُهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. And the best of them are the best of them to their women. وَخَيْرُهُمْ خَيْرُهُمْ لِأَهْلِهِمْ. The best of them are the best of them to their families. To their families. I remember a benefit I heard from Sheikh Raslan, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, about الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى الزَّوْجَةِ. Al-Ihsan ila Zawja. It was a very great benefit, for the one who thinks about it and ponders. Being kind and nice to the wife and giving her her rights. He said that having Ihsan to the wife, this is not found in fulfilling her rights and providing for her and spending on her and giving her provision and home and shelter and the likes like this. This is something that everybody does. This is the general Ihsan that is required. But the true ihsan, if a person really wants to consider himself doing good to his family, meaning his wife, if he really wants to consider himself striving to be good to his wife, what does he do? يتحمل أذاها. يتحمل أذاها. That he will be patient and he will bear her harm. He will be patient and he will bear her harm. The harm that she brings him with her tongue or her manners. Sometimes she will have bad manners or she will do something that is not correct in the life like this, or she will have dealings that are not pleasing. Sometimes like this, this will happen from the wife. This is the time that the one who really wants to do good to his family, he will be patient with that. And he will deal with that with the best manner. He will not counteract that, fire with fire, or foul manners with foul manners, but rather, he will be patient and he will deal with that for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. At this time, a person could be considered truly making ihsan to his family. Truly making ihsan to his family. Whenever she harms him, he doesn't harm her. Rather, he pardons her and he deals with the situation in the best of manners and ways. So therefore, from the completion of the faith is to learn the noble and upright and lofty conduct and manners, beginning with that which is an obligation and a requirement for the completion and the perfection of the faith that is an obligation, the actions that are obligatory. And then likewise, after that, striving in the affairs that are as well, they're not obligatory, but rather they're recommended. Because from the actions of faith, there are actions that are obligatory for the faith to be complete. And then after that, there are actions of faith that are recommended for a believer to hasten, to strive, to compete in gaining the high ranks in this life and in the hereafter, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beginning with the manners that are obligatory, from the actions of faith that are obligatory, there are certain types of conduct and manners. A believer, he will learn these affairs and he will abide by them, for the sake of Allah, fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping that this will be a means for him to be safe from the fire. Because we see that this is from the perfection of faith and taqwa. And the issue of it, taqwa, is that whenever it is strong, it protects a person from the fire and the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the benefit of it, taqwa. One of the greatest benefits of it, taqwa, al-wiqaya min adhabi Allahi Azza wa Jalla wa ghadabihi, is a protection and a shield and a barrier from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his anger. It has been collected by Al-Imam Ahmad and likewise At-Tirmidhi rahimahumallahu ta'ala, referring to this affair, the importance of manners and being safe from the hellfire, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ يَحْرُمُ عَلَى النَّارِ أَوْ تَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ النَّارِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, shall I not inform you of the one who is impermissible, he's prohibited from the fire, or the one who the fire is prohibited from him? And one of them, and there's a doubt here in the narration, but one necessitates the other. And he said, I'll not inform you of the one who will not enter the fire. He's prohibited from entering the fire, and the fire is prohibited from touching him. And if you heard this narration, what will you say? I said, أخبرني. Inform me of that person. Inform me of that person. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كل هين لين سهل قريب من الناس. He said, every person who is layin, hayin, he's easy. He's easy and he's light and he's kind and he's soft and he's close to the people. He's easy to deal with. The one who's easy to deal with. The one who, if you ask him something, is easy to deal with him and it's not hard. And he's not harsh and he's not rude. But rather, he's nice and he's kind and he's gentle and he's calm. This one is the one that is prohibited from the fire. He's close to the people. If you deal with him in business, it's easy to deal with him. It's not a problem. Things go smooth when you deal with him. You buy from him, it's the smoothest buying. You sell to him, it's the smoothest contract. If you go to eat with him, whatever you do with him, you ask him for something, you need something from him, he needs something from him, whatever that case, anytime you deal with him in every situation, you talk to him about something, you advise him, or he advises you, whatever the case may be, whenever he deals with you, it's easy. It's easy, it's gentle, it's kind. There's no harshness, there's no rudeness, there's no loudness. And this is the one who the fire is prohibited from him. Meaning the one who does this, for the sake of Allah, after establishing the deen, of course. And then after that, he has this type of manners. Layin. Layin means he's soft. And hayin, he's not hasty. He's not harsh. He's not rude. Hayin, to be easy. Sahil. Sahil, he's not hard. It's not sad. When you deal with him, it's not sad. Talking to him, it's not hard. To ask him for something, it's not hard. To get advice from him, it's not hard. To plan a type of gathering or a journey, it's not hard. And it's easy to deal with him in every situation. تحرم عليهم. Now, this person, the fire is prohibited for him. He's prohibited from the fire. The fire will not touch this type of person. And on the other hand, there are types of individuals that every time you deal with him, it's hard. It's a problem. And on the contrary, And some people, if you ask them for something, you have to go through a great trouble just to get what you want. Or even sometimes you will plan to do something for them and you will spend on them. And then in return, they make it hard and they're not satisfied and they want more, or they want this, or this didn't go that way. Or if they order food and they don't have the right food, they blow up and everything is hard. The dealings is, this is not the way of the one who is safe from the fire. Whether it's easy for him, maybe he prefers one thing, he didn't get it that way. He doesn't blow up. He doesn't lose his temper. Alhamdulillah, it's all good. I'll take it like that. He orders something and he gets it the opposite of what he loves. Allah says, all good. Some people, they'll go to the limits and they'll get free food for the next year. And they'll take people to and there's no stopping with him. And subhanAllah, just say, hayyin. These words here, if we know the Arabic language, layyin, kullu, layyin, hayyin, sahlin. This means easy, soft, gentle. It's easy to deal with him. It's easy to deal with him. He's not hard to deal with at all, anytime. And this is the way that a believer should try to be. Why? أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَنْ يَحْرُمُ عَلَى النَّارِ Should I not inform you of the one who is prohibited from the fire? Who would not like to be prohibited from the fire? Prohibited from the fire. Why is he prohibited from the fire? Because he's easy, he's nice, he deals with the people with good manners, he's not hard to deal with. And if you debate with him, he doesn't yell at you or belittle you or backbite you or talk about you or the likes like this. He's not harsh with you. Or if you ask him for something, and even if he can't give you, he will do it in the best manner. So on and so forth. This is the way that a believer, he will strive to be. Yani for the sake of Allah. It's beginning with who? with the family. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.